please be seated. Chaplain Malstead is not able to be here this morning because of a family emergency, and therefore the sermon text this morning is that of tomorrow, and Chaplain Malstead will preach tomorrow morning. As you notice from the bulletin, the 3 days of this week are devoted to the theme of Christ's offices as prophet, priest, and king. And I don't think that it makes any difference to that theme that we start this morning with the priest. Our text then is Hebrews 7, verses 26 and 27. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. You are greeted by a putrid, bitter stench from spilled blood, burned animal carcasses, hide and flesh, and all of the other odors that could go along with that. So strong that even incense could barely cover it up. To go to church in the Old Testament times was to go to the tabernacle while the Israelites were still in the wilderness, and then later to the temple in Jerusalem. And that would have been the flavor of it. A putrid, bitter stench, spilled blood, burned animals, hide, flesh, and innards. And I don't know if I could possibly have been one of those priests who officiated over that. Of course, I wouldn't have had to worry, since they held their office as sons of the tribe of Levi. Some of you, not so terribly long ago, I trust that you can remember it, read the description of these bloody sacrifices in the 16th chapter of Leviticus, the institution of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. You read that in your introduction to Christianity class. Aaron was to take 2 goats, offer one as a sin offering, and lay on the other the sins of the Israelites, and send it out into the wilderness as a scapegoat. Moses writes, "He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel." It was a bloody business. The heart of the work was sacrifice. And it really was bloody. It was all about blood, in fact. But those bloody sacrifices never were finished. The priests had to make atonement for their own sins and then for the sins of the people, repeatedly, over and over and over again. According to God's command through Moses, this special Day of Atonement was to be an annual affair forever. There were, of course, the daily and the weekly sacrifices. But this sacrifice of atonement was a standing order year after year after year. But in the sacrifice of the great high priest, the bloody sacrifices of the Day of Atonement and all the other sacrifices did come to an end. No longer were the sacrifices carried out by Aaron and his successors, the sons of Levi. But the sacrifice came to an end when on the Day of Atonement, the Son of God and David's Son made once and for all sacrifice at Golgotha. Golgotha, the place of the skull, reputed by tradition to be the place where Adam was buried. That sacrifice on Calvary, Golgotha, was as bloody as any of the Old Testament sacrifices ever could have been. It was an agonizing torture for the victim, and the blood and the sweat that poured out there at that cross surely left as much of a stench and the smell of death as did the sacrifices of old. There was a scapegoat, one being punished in the place of the people. But now the goat of the sacrifice and the scapegoat are joined into one. But where is the priest? Where is the one who does the sacrificing? Now the priest, the sacrificer, is joined into one with the sacrifice and with the scapegoat. God's Son is the priest, and he is the sacrifice that he offers once and for all, for which is the end of all the bloody offerings for sin. And that makes him also the eternal high priest once and for all. And so we sing in an old Latin hymn, "Offered was he for greatest and for least, himself the victim and himself the priest. He was the innocent lamb, guiltless and unblemished, and yet he became the offering, the sin offering for all time. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us," writes St. Paul. And Isaiah writes, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The great image that we have of this bloody sacrifice in the Revelation of St. John speaks of those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And Isaiah writes, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." He offered up himself, and he is the priest for all time, for once, for all, and for you. He offered up himself as the one priest, and now today he stands as the one priest when through the ministry of his word he distributes to us daily his word of forgiveness. He serves us through those whom he sends out in his apostolic ministry when they speak his word of forgiveness, when they baptize us into his death and resurrection, and when they feed us with his body and blood that he offered once and for all for the forgiveness of sins. But our ministers no longer are sacrificing priests. They serve under his promise. "Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And he who hears you, hears me." They have only this once and for all sacrifice, his sacrifice, to declare to you. And so we confess in our Lutheran confessional writings and the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, we teach that the sacrifice of Christ dying on the cross has been sufficient for the sins of the whole world, and that there is no need besides of other sacrifices, as though this were not sufficient for our sins. We accordingly are justified, not because of any other sacrifices, but because of this one sacrifice of Christ, if we believe that we have been redeemed by this sacrifice. Thanks be to God, our great high priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Would you please turn to page 175, and you can follow the words as Psalm 22 is sung from the balcony. A prayer has been requested for Joy Weber, the grandmother of Paul and Sarah, who has a brain tumor. Let us rise for prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, our great physician and great high priest, we thank you, the Lord of life, for the days of health and comfort you give to us. We pray that you will grant comfort and peace to Joy Weber and her family as they face these things which are known to you and not to us. Please grant the healing and have comfort as you know best to do, and comfort Joy and her family with the joys of your promise of eternal life and peace with you in eternal glory. For Jesus' sake, amen.